You're listening to Amar v'Chazar with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. We are two lines from the top, at the end of the second line. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shel Tzemer, V'Shel Seyar, Ein Chotzin V'Pnei HaMayim, Sh'Abayin Behem. So, this is actually not a quote from our Mishnah, it's funny. This is a quote from the Mishnah Mikvahos that we quoted later on the previous Amud. But it's related to our Mishnah. But right. Remember, there was a point that was the Gemara explained was just clarifying a reason why women can't go out with certain things on Shabbos because it's a result of a din by Tevila. And so then we quoted a relevant Mishnah in Mikvos regarding Chatzitza, and now the Gemara begins with a. Analyzing that line in that Mishnah. So the line is that Rabbi Yehuda says that Shel Tzemer v'Shel Seyar ein chotzitzin v'pnei hamayim ba'an behen. That if they have these like strands of wool or strands of hair, that would not be a chatzitza because the water goes into them, right? That they're somewhat porous to some degree. They're soft enough that water will go into them. Now, just to take a look at the Mishnah on the previous Amud, just to see it in its entirety, to get the Tanakhama. Right, so it's about two thirds of the way down. Tanan. So it says v'elu chotzitzin ba'adam chutei tzemer v'chutei pichon v'hartzuo sheberoshe hebanos. And Rav Huna said that all of these are on the head. So what's considered a chatzitza? The strands of tzemer, of wool, strands of flax, and straps. These would be chatzitza. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Shel tzemer v'shel seyar ein chotzitzin. Bipnei shamayim ban ben. So okay, now back to our analysis, now that we saw that Tanakhama. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda b'chutei se'ar. The halacha, so the paskin for a quote from Shmuel that the halacha is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda regarding the strands of hair that they are who, and he says that it's not a chatzitza. Now Amar le'Abaye halacha mechlal depligi. The halacha is when you say halacha is like him, it's mashma that there's a machlokas. Right? But was there really a machlokas b'chutei se'ar? That's why I turned back. If you want to turn back one more time, taking a look, the Tanakhama doesn't mention se'ar. He doesn't mention hair. Right? The Tanakhama says, what is a chatzitza? Strands of wool, strands of flax, and these ritsuos, these straps. I don't know if they're of leather or whatever. I'm not sure. But that's what is a chatzitza. And then Rabbi Yehuda responds, arguing regarding tzemer, and saying Seyar also is not a chatzitza. Hair is also not a chatzitza. But the Tanakhama didn't say anything about Seyar. So the Rav Yosef statement seems to understand that the Tanakhama also said Seyar. Also hair, strands of hair, are also a chatzitza. And Rav Yehuda argues it's not. But that's not clear in the Mishnah. So Rav Yosef says, quoting Rav Yehuda, quoting Shmuel, Halacha k'Rav Yehuda, b'chut Seyar. And Abaye says, Hold on, not so poshid, right? He says, "Halacha mechlal de pligi, v'chi tema." And if you're going to tell me, "Ilav de shaminan mitana kama da iri b'chutei seyar," so you might argue, well, no, it must be a machlokas. The fact that the Tanakhama that Rabbi Yehuda mentioned seyar implies that the Tanakhama also really mentioned it. And really held of that in the Machlokas, and for whatever reason the Mishnah left it out, or the Tanakhama didn't say it explicitly, but that's the Machlokas. Otherwise, he wouldn't have mentioned that, right? So v'chitem, if you're going to tell me ilav d'shminan mitana kama da'ari b'chutei seyar ihunami lohava mairi, that he right, if you're going to tell me the Tanakhama wasn't talking about seyar. Right, if had the Tanakhama not also been talking about strands of hair, then Rabbi Yehuda also wouldn't have mentioned it. From the fact that Rabbi Yehuda mentioned it, it's mashma that the Tanakhama must have been talking about that too, and for whatever reason, it's not included. But that can that but that, that's not necessarily true, because I could explain this Mishnah. I could explain why Rabbi Yehuda brought it up in another way. V'dilma, maybe kishem ka'amar lehu. He was speaking in terms of kishem, right? We had a similar phrase where on the, I think it was in the previous summit where the ma ta'am kamar, right? That it means that the Mishnah was speaking in terms of ma ta'am. What's the reason? Ma ta'am kamar. So over here is saying the Mishnah is speaking in terms of kishem. Kishem kamar lehu. Rabbi Huda was talking in terms of kishem, meaning the following. That kihechi demodisuli bechote seyar, that just as you, Tanakama, agree to me that it's not a chatzitza in a case of strands of hair, odili nami bechute tzemer. So you should also agree with me in terms of chute tzemer. Meaning that why did Rabbi Huda mention strands of hair if the Tanakama did not mention it? So he was trying to demonstrate a point. He's trying to demonstrate Rabbi Huda saying, Tanakama, you disagree with me about wool, about this, but you would definitely agree with me about strands of hair that it's not a chatitza. So while you're agreeing with me about that, you might as well agree with me about this. So what that means is, though, is that we can interpret this Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda's mention of Seyar does not indicate necessarily that the Tanakama disagrees. Right? Rav Yosef, when he presented it, he says, look, it's a machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama regarding hair. Rabbi says, no, I don't, not love dafka. I could interpret this Mishnah not to be a machlokes, that really both of them agree, even though Tanakama didn't mention it, both of them agree that the hair, strands of hair, is not a chatzitza. And Abaye is going to prove further, the Gemara is going to prove further for Abaye, in defense of this approach. Itmar was indeed stated, Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Modim Chacham on the Rabbi Yehuda b'chutei Seyar. Right? And Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel himself, which is valuable because Rav Yosef was actually quoting Rabbi Yehuda, quoting Shmuel. Which is, so this is Shmuel himself, and another quote from Shmuel, that the Chachamim are moded to Rabbi Yehuda regarding Chutei Seyar, meaning the Tanakama, meaning indeed there is no machlokas regarding Chutei Seyar. There's a little thing on the side, changes the gears a little bit, which might even be that Rav Yosef is revising. I'm a Rav Yosef. I'm a Rav Yehuda. I'm a Shmuel. That it's a revision of Rav Yosef's quote. Meaning that I'm not sure if Abaye necessarily was arguing on Rav Yosef or on whoever presented Rav Yosef's opinion. Though Abaye typically would be talking to Rav Yosef directly. Could be as after Rav Yosef's death. Either way, it seems that the Gemara accepts this, and we're going to even have a brisa that's supportive of this. Tanya Nami Hachi, you also mentioned a brisa, chutei tzemer, chotzitzin, chutei seyar, ein chotzitzin, right? That strands of wool and strands of hair are chotzitz, and this is, sorry about that. The Tanakhama says that wool is not chotzitz and strands of hair are. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shel tzemer v'shel seyar ein chotzitzin. So that's an explicit brisa that explicitly demonstrates our Abaye's assertion of how to understand the Mishnah Mikvos. This brisa is very, very clear that indeed the Tanakhama agrees with Rabbi Yehuda regarding chotzitzin shel seyar. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Masnisa Nami Dika. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says the Mishnah itself also has a diuk towards this proof, towards this point. Diktani, because it teaches, Yotza Isha Bechute Sayar, Bein Mishala, Bein Mishal Chaverta. So, right, so the Mishnah says that, this is not a Mishnah here, right, the little note on the side says, Lakam and Samach Dalam and Beis. So we're going to quote this Mishnah later on, Samach Dalam and Beis, and it says that a woman may go out in Chute Sayar, so hair, strands of hair, whether it's hers or her friend's hair. Meaning the strands are made out of her friend's hair or her own hair. She can go out. So Mani, so who would this be? Who's the Tana? Either Rabbi Yehuda, afil chutei tzemer, nami. Right? This Tana and this Mishnah can't be Rabbi Yehuda, because the fact that it's only saying Seyar implies that wool is not okay, but Rabbi Yehuda would say even wool you can go out with. So therefore, Ella lav rabbananhi. Isn't this Mishnah the opinion of the Rabbanan then? And it can't be Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda would say even chutei tzemer. So who else could it be? It must be the Rabbanan, meaning Tanakhama, the Chachamim. Vishma mina, v'chutei seyer, lo pligi, shma mina. And we learn from this that the Rabbanan, the Tanakhama, holds that chutei seyer, a woman can go out with that strands of hair, and there's no machlokes, shma mina. Indeed, we learn from this. So we have not only a Braisa, but even a Beferish, a Mishnah, an hour, a Masechta, that will support this approach, and we conclude it is not a machlokas regarding chutei sayar.
I'm a little bit confused. Looking ahead, Mar and Samach Dal based Mishnah that we're quoting, says Yotze Isha bechutei sayar beim shalab beim shal chaverta. Which, if we're just saying a sayar, then why would there be need for tzemer? But then it says beim shal behema, so which would be Semer, would it not be?
No. I think Semer, we assume, is all...
Semer, is there completely different categories?
Yeah.
Goat's hair is not the same as wool.
Right, exactly. And I think most... Uh-huh. I think we're even machalek, I forgot if we do it in this Masechta, between sheep wool and other wool. There is a concept called like Semer, like Gamal, or anything like that, like camel wool and other things that have wool. But I think that whenever we say Semer, we assume it's Dafka sheep wool. The difference would be presumably its coarseness or its porousness. I don't know if that's the correct, if that's a real word, but right, the ability of water to be able to go through, and the materials would seemingly, be the point of the
And I guess that my original question comes back. Yeah. I wonder why the Gemara is assuming that if Rabbi Yehuda was the author of the Mishnah on Tzamech Dalan and Beis, we would necessarily mention, Semer. Well, it doesn't necessarily fit with the context.
Yeah, why not? Because...
So then why does the mission have to, like, provide an exhaustive list? We're talking about Seir. We're not talking about Semer. Is it Yosei Isha B'chutei Seir? Oh, because this is... One second, sorry. I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Mishnah is talking about various items you can go out with. And Shabbos, so it knows if Semer were, well, acceptable, it would have been on the list. So it knows to say that mission is an exhaustive list.
Yeah.
We just introduced a mission that says B'chutei Isha Yosei. So I see. So our Mishnah is all the do nots.
We're gonna have several more Mishnayos of do nots before we get to the dues. But you have to pay your dues to get to the dues. So let's indeed do that. So let's see. Okay, so now, alo betotefes, and she is not allowed to go out with a totefes. So you might say, this is an explicit Gemara that says that women can wear tefillin, just not on Shabbos, just like, right, men? So, okay, so totefes, we'll have to see what totefes means. My totefes, that's right, what the Gemara cuts to the chase. What is totefes? What is a totefes? Amar of Yosef, chumarta de kat. Dikatifta, which Rashi says it's some sort of kesher she'osin l'rafuos kituf ayin ra shelotishlot. So it's some sort of thing that she ties onto herself for the purpose of refuos and protection from an ayin hara. So it's some sort of something sort of like an amulet. The Gemara is going to get right to that point in a moment, but that's what it is, I don't know if she wears it around her neck or in front of her somewhere. Amar Le Abaye says Tehavi Kamea Mumcha V'Tishtari. That sounds like it's a Kamea Mumcha and it should be permitted, right? We mentioned the Kamea Mumcha. An amulet that has proven to be effective, the amulet has proven to be effective, right? Daf Nun Gimel, we mentioned this. And we said it's mutter to go out with such a thing. We were talking about an animal, and if it's not proven to be, it's proven to be effective for a human, for a non-animal. But over here, this, presumably, these kinds of things work. This totefes, or chumarta de takifta, assuming that's what totefes is, that would seem to work and it should be permitted. So why would that be a problem? Therefore, Ella Amar Abaye, rather Abaye says that is not what a totefes is. If that was a totefes, you would be allowed to go out with it. Rather, what is a totefes? Totefes, Amar Abaye, Ella Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmeda Abaye. So rather, Rav Yehuda says in the name of Abaye, Apuzainu, which Rashi says is a frontal shel zahav, a frontal, like a frontlet of gold. So right, like some sort of like head plate thing, not some like amulet necklace, but rather some sort of head plate. Interesting. I saw noted that it's strange that Rav Yehuda is saying something in the name of Abaye, right? Because they probably did overlap to some degree, but Rav Yehuda is a much earlier Amora. He's second generation Amora. It's a Talmud of Shmuel. Abaye is a couple generations later. Generations in not doesn't mean that they didn't overlap by lives, but I think they're different ways of resolving, reinterpreting this phrase, saying Rav Yehuda in the name of Abaye, but whatever it might be, this is the suggestion, and this seems to be what we'll conclude, that Totefes is a frontlet diadem sort of a headplate thing, which is not surprising for those of us who wear our Totefos Bein Inecha. Tanya, Nami Hoch, we also have a Brisa that indicates this. Yotza Isha Bisavcha Hamuz Heves. Right, which is that a woman is allowed to go out with a svacha that is gold, which is some sort of hat of gold. Ubatotefes Ubisarvitin Hakavuin Ba. And with the totefes and the sarvitin that are set in it. So we'll see what this can prove. Okay, right. So Tosos over here is gonna prove this, right? Because this brisa is supposed to support the assertion that the totefes is not this amulet-like thing, but rather it is a frontlet. So how does it prove that? So Tosfos says, "Avir tani nami hachi minatani u'sarvitin hakavuin ba v'derech lekvoa apizainu b'savcha aval chumarta de tachifta en kovin." That it's normal to put a totefes or a sarvitin. Sarvitin are like our head bangles. Meaning, as I was discussing with my wife, trying to get clarity before, as opposed to like bracelet like things that are bangles, there's something that you would wear in your head, in the hair. The Gemara is going to be a little bit more explicit with that is in a moment. But these types of things, the tefes and sarvitin, are something that you would wear on your hat, on your savacha. But you wouldn't wear like one of these amulet like things in your hat. Therefore, this brisa supports what Rav Yehuda is saying, Meshem Abaye, that the correct interpretation of Totefes is not this Chumarta de Takifta, but rather it is the frontlet. And this brisa over here says that if it's stuck into the hat, then you're allowed to go out with it. It's only when it's on the woman's head that she might take it off. But if it's put on the hat, so I guess she wouldn't take it out of the hat, and she would just take off her hat to show it off. But a woman is not going to be taking off her hat, her head covering, in the street. So that type of jewelry, a woman wouldn't take off. Okay, so. So ezo totefes, ezo sarvitin. So what exactly is the difference between totefes and sarvitin? Amar Rebahu, totefes hamukefes la meozen laozen. So totefes is surrounded from ear to ear. That's how it's attached. So it's like a head plate, and there's from ear to ear. Sarvitin hamagiyin la ad lecheya, and the sarvitin go around and reach the cheeks. So it looks more like, I guess, like pay is coming down in the front. Right, so she's either wearing the tefillin shel rosh or has long payas. Interesting. So Amar Rav Huna just wants to be a little bit more descriptive for us. And, seemingly, it's unclear if there's halachic nafka mina. There might be actually, but Rashi doesn't quote one. Anios osin osan shel minei tzavonin. Poor women would have these things colored, and ashiros osin osan shel kesef shel zahav, and rich women would have them out of gold and silver. So it could be he's just trying to be more descriptive, or it could be there's actually a nafkamina about certain things, and perhaps you know, is a woman more likely to show something off or not? If she, you know, if a poor woman had a colored one, maybe that would be okay to go out with. So there is a discussion that could be had there, but the simple understanding is that it's just a descriptive explanation of what these things are, and that it's a low plug, and we're not going to get into complicated details of like, okay, so a woman can't go out with anything. Well, unless it's something that's not normal for her status that she might show off, that already gets a little bit complicated. Velo be kavul, and she cannot go out with a kavul, which we mentioned in the previous stuff was some sort of previous amud was some sort of habit. We didn't really explain the Gemara. We were promised the Gemara would give an explanation, and the Gemara is keeping its word over here. Amar of Yanai kavul zeh eni yodeya mahu. I don't know what kavul it is being referred to over here. There's different things that we can call a kavul, and I'm not sure this one might be. Which one is talking about? What are the two possibilities? E kavla da avda tanan. Is the Mishnah talking about a kavla da avda, something of a servant, a kavul of a servant, which Rashi explains as a chosim she'osin le'eved b'ksuso le'simin hochacha shehu eved. It seems that there was a practice that avadim would have something in their clothing that was an indication of their status as an eved, which you can imagine would be important if they would, you know, want to which is one example, getting married, right? So if you think it's a free person, and then you marry him, so then you're or her, so you get into some serious halachic shilas there. So it could be also that for whom they belong to. Okay, whatever it is. Rashi mentions over here that's why it says and the Mishnah is talking about a shifcha, right? Because the Mishnah was talking in feminine terms. Would it be different?
This is a fascinating sugya because it talks about what we're getting to. Let's say he drops it, and so he'll pick it up and carry it because he's afraid his master will beat him for losing it, or think he's trying to pass himself off as being. Free, or maybe a fold over his talus just to cover it up, and various things, ways that issues that can come up.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, looking forward. So and hopefully through that, I guess we'll get more insight about what exactly this practice was about the Kavla Davda. Okay, great. So it could be the Mishnah is talking about that. Aval Kipa Shel Tzemer, but another interpretation of a Kavla of a kavul is a kippah shel tzemer, a wool, sounds like kippah shuga. But it's some sort of hat made of wool. A shopper dummy, perhaps that would be fine for her to go out in a kippah shel tzemer, because the Mishnah is only talking about a kavla da avda. Odama, or maybe the Mishnah is talking about kippah shel avda, shel tzemer tana, maybe the Mishnah is talking about kippah shel tzemer. The kol shekin kavla da avda. And all the more so, we would learn a kavla chomer to a kavla da avda that a shifcha cannot go out with that. So which one are we talking about? What does the kavul of our Mishnah mean? Amar Yabahu mistavra kemanda amar kippah shel tzemer tanan. It's more logical to say that we're talking about the kippah shel tzemer. That seems to make more sense. And is there explanation here in Rashi? No, yeah, okay. So he says that's more logical, and let's see how that might be supported. So a woman can go out with a kavul or an istama in her chatzer. And it's istama, Rashi says, the kamim mafarish my istama. But he says the point is that we're going to speak about an istama for a little bit. But before we do that, Rashi just clarifies what we gain from this is that b'nitchani kol shehu lamata min, right, I'm reading Rashi, b'kavol b'istama, right, l'kamim mafarish my istama. We're going to explain momentarily what an istama is. B'nitchani kol shehu lamata min ha savacha shmamina kipa tanan. From the fact that that the Mishnah is talking about an istama and a kavul in the context of an istama, it seems that it is something that is kept below the savacha, below her hat, Which means that we're probably not talking about something that's attached to the clothing. So it doesn't make, so it makes sense that we're not talking about a kavla de avda. Rather, we're talking about the kippa shel tzemer, because that's more on of the same nature as the istama, which is something that is kept below a woman's hat. Yeah, okay. So let's see further. It's more logical. Where is it? Vistavra. Istavra kabadim ar kippa shel tzemer tznan vitznan v'tanya nami hachi yotze isha bekavul v'istama l'chatze. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer af bekavul roshosa rabim. He says that you can even go out with a kavul in the Rishos Rabbim, meaning not just in the Chatzar, even in the Rishos Rabbim. And I think we're going to get into that discussion a little bit later about what this chiluk of the Chatzar and the Rishos Rabbim might be. Now we're just quoting generally for this for the answer that Rashi already explained. And klal amar so klal amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar kol shu lamata min asvacha yotzin bo kol shehu lamala min asvacha in yotzin bo. That anything that you that is kept under the savacha, under her hat, so a woman can go out with that, because presumably she will not be taking it off. But if it is above the hat, the mala min savacha and yotzinbo, that she might take off. Okay, now just to clarify, my istama, what is this istama that you speak of? Amar Bahu bizyone. It's a bizione, right?
Of course.
Right, of course. And then the Gemara asks, my bizione. Amar Abaye, Amar Rav, Kalia Peruche. It's a Kalia Peruche. So over here, the joke is continues for us, because we're not so good at this. It's not just Aramaic. What are these things? We've seen this a bunch of times where we saw it on Daf Lamed Beis and Brachos when talking about a certain disease, the fire of the bones, right? That Moshe experienced through pleading for Hashem for the Egel Azav, where the Gemara says, "What's this? It's this." And what's this? It's this. And then even at the end, we still don't know what it is, because that's what happens when you have a Gemara that's written over about 300 years, and it keeps getting edited by a generation later, two or three or four or five or six or seven generations later. So you do your best, and then when it's closed in the year 500, and here we are 1500 years after that, trying to figure out what it means. So we end up with this. But Baruch Hashem, Rashi helps us out over here. He says, "What is a kalya fruche?" So he says it is a mitznefes ketana la'achar kishure. So it's like a little scarf or a turban. Shekolas rosha v'kisasta yesh saaros ketanos shiotzos. That after she has like hairs coming out. I'm blanking on what it's called, but it's like one of those things that's put under, I think from what I understand, like under like a shetel or a tichel that just gets all the loose hairs also. So there's like the major cover, but then there's one that covers all the loose hairs that are coming out. But the pruche seem to be like the things that are flowering, that are sprouting out, meaning the hairs that are coming from out, and it's something that covers up those things. And that is what an istama is, some sort of scarf that covers the extra things. Okay, and let's just wrap up with a brisa about an istama. Tana Rabbanan, Gimel Dvarim Nemru B'Istama. I'm sure you're wondering the three things that people say about istamas. Well, here they are. You're lucky you came here tonight, folks. Ein ba mishum kilayim. First of all, there is no din of kilayim by an istama. Rashi says shasua kamin levad. It's because it's made of like felt. Shekorin foltera aveina tavia, and it's not twisted. So it is not of material of material that would be considered kilayim. Veina metama benegayim, and it doesn't become tama through negayim. Rashi says, "In the high time, a gufei." From this same reason, "Degabe negayim ksiv nami beged v'yalef mikilayim shuva v'tavi." We say that kilayim has to be darshan from shatnas shuva v'tavi, like twisted and spun, and that is not the case by these by an istama. Therefore, it won't be kilayim, and it can't be metama negayim. Ve'in yotzin ba l'rishus harabim. And you can't go out with it in a Rishos Rabbim, which would that's more of that, that's going to be more of our topic. And then if you wanted a bonus one, Mishum Reb Shimon Amru af ein bamishum ataros kalos, and it's also there's no it's not bound by the restriction of ataros kalos. Ataros of kalos means the crowns of the kalos of the brides, which was a gzeira mentioned in Masechah Sota. Rashi says over here, "De gazra lein shelo teitze ba mechorban ve'elech mishum tsar Masechah Sota," that there was a rule against kalos wearing crowns because from the Churban HaBayis and on, and these anistema would not be considered a violation. The kala would be allowed to wear it without violating that.